Just be kind. This was a sign that I held. I was out there on Wednesday. That was this past Wednesday. I just wanted to go out and see what happened. I had no idea the reaction that this sign would get. I just said, Rob, set up a camera and let's see what people do. I may get assaulted. I may get hugs. I may get arrested. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to hold this sign and I'm going to say nothing unless people say something to me. And I got all kinds of reactions. I got a lot of honks and waves, as you guys saw. This one guy pulled up and he rolled down his window and he was glaring at me. And he goes, just made my day, man. Just made my day. Thank you. I'm like, well, smile when you say it at least. You saw the one lady ask for a hug. No idea what kind of day she was having, but hopefully that helped. I got flipped off twice. They obviously couldn't read. The funniest was a guy came up and asked me, he goes, hey man, you know, are you okay? Do you need a few dollars or something? And I'm like, he thinks I'm begging, and I thought about saying no, but then I'm like, oh, wait a second, Dave, you drive a 19-year-old car. You have one daughter in college, the next one, yeah, I could use a few bucks. Yeah. But the funniest was my daughter called and said, Dad, why are my friends sending me pictures of you standing on a street corner? What are you doing now? And there's lots of reactions. I think it really resonated with people, these three words, because kindness is something that seems to be severely lacking in society today. And people know it. I honestly think people are sick and tired. I think they're sick and tired of the fighting, the division, the insults. They're sick of the lack of kindness being fostered on us by the media, by social media. I think people are sick and tired of the arguing, of the name-calling, the label. You know, enough already is what people are saying. And that's why the words, just be kind, resonated with people so much this week. Interestingly enough, it is kindness that God uses to draw us to Him. I don't know if you know the Bible says that, but in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says that it's God's kindness that brings us to repentance. It's His kindness, not His judgment, not His wrath, not His, you know, anything. It's just His simple kindness that draws people to Him. And just a side note, I've been hearing a lot of feedback on this series, this Visible series. And my favorite comment that was said to me was, I've wondered what relevance Christianity has to this day and age. It's like every Sunday God is presenting a solution to everything that is wrong with this world in this series. Well, that's very kind. And I say yes. I mean, that's exactly what God does. He presents an alternative vision for how we can be. An alternative vision for how we could be, how life in a nation that is lacking in vision and in direction, God points the way to something better. Just be kind. But how do we do that? Well, in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, there's a great story about Peter and John. And it says this: one day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate, the beautiful gate, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." The man gave him their full attention, expecting to get something from him. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. All right, now, there are a couple things we can find in this passage here about kindness, the kind of kindness that God wants to have. The first thing is, I want you guys to don't just see the miracle. Write that down. Don't just see the miracle. Because a lot of people will focus in on the fact that they healed this guy miraculously, and all they see is a miracle. Now, I don't downplay that, but don't just see that, okay? John 14:12, this is what Jesus said. He says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says that we will do greater things than him. And I always thought that meant miracles, but it doesn't. It means the love behind the miracles. Jesus says, because there are so many of you and so few of me, When I give you my Holy Spirit, you will do the things I have been doing, but you'll do even more because you're a church, not just an individual. I always thought that Jesus said, hey, you'll be able to walk on water and you'll be able to change water into wine. That'd be really cool. I thought raise people from the dead. And there are people that may be able to do that. I'm not one of them. I've tried. It doesn't work. But I do know this, that the important part of Jesus' works were the love behind the miracles. That's why Jesus always told people, don't tell anybody about this. He didn't want people just to see the miracles. He wanted people to see the love behind the miracles. So don't just see the miracle. See the love and the kindness that motivated it. All of us can do that. The second thing that we notice about this is that they noticed. Okay? They noticed. There was a man sitting there, and most people just walking by, minding their own business, right? They noticed. Okay? In order for us to have the kind of kindness that God wants us to have, we have to get our eyes up. We have to stop being in our own little self-contained world, and we have to notice around us. That's something I'm not very good at. I am in my own little world most of the time. I don't notice anything. I don't notice signs. I don't notice people. I just don't. I'm working on it, but I'm terrible at it. Most of the time, I don't even notice. I'm lucky if I notice if my socks match. I'm just not a very observant person, but my wife is very different. My wife is very different. She notices. She notices things, and one of the most amazing things happened when we were at Raising Cane's. One day, we were sitting there. We have four children, and our children are older now. But we remember the days when the children were little, and there was this mom sitting in the corner over there, and she had two children, one a toddler and an infant, and exactly, yes, it was exactly like that. I love that sound. It's wonderful. But the mom's food was sitting there. How many of you all moms have not had a hot meal in a long time? Yeah, absolutely. Goes with her. Okay, her food was sitting there, and she was. And right then, the baby started fussing, and she gave the baby bottle, and the other kid was needing help, and so one hand was feeding the infant, and the other one's like that. And I just kind of looked over there and I said, man, I remember those days. But I didn't do anything about it. I didn't think about it. My wife doesn't say anything. She gets up. Now, if you know my wife, this is exactly the kind of person she is. She gets up, walks over to this complete stranger, and I can see them talk, and I can see the expression on the mom's face, like go from, who are you, to what are you saying, to, well, all right. And she hands my wife the baby, and my wife sits down, and the mom starts to eat. And actually gets a hot meal, and I just sit there and watch, and my son and I were sitting there watching, and I said, "What? Just watch." And within like 10 minutes, they're talking and laughing like old friends, like they'd known each other all their lives. And I'm just thinking to myself, "My goodness, that is what kindness is. It's noticing. It's noticing someone with a need and doing something about it." I don't do that, and we don't do that. We need more people like my wife to actually notice. Some of the greatest Christian work is done when people notice. Somebody about 10 years ago noticed that fathers in prison had nothing to teach them, and they started this thing called Inside Out Dad that I've been involved with for 7 years, but if we hadn't noticed, we wouldn't know that. Somebody noticed that there were orphans in India. Someone noticed that there were mission, unevangelized people, and they noticed, and they went because of kindness. And when Christians notice, watch out, people. Because some amazing things are about to be done. Peter and John noticed this man while everyone else was just walking by. So my question is, people, who in your life simply needs to be noticed. Noticed. The third thing we learn about this, and this is going to step on some toes because this is really tough. Number three, they didn't enable. Okay? Now, this causes me more problems and more arguments with people over what I'm about to tell you. Okay? They did not give this man what he wanted. Don't miss that. Because many times what we view as kindness is not kindness. Okay? It's actually the worst thing possible. I've been working with people struggling with addiction, both in jail and Revive House for the last 7 years. I love them. And what they tell me is that they could not become an addict. They could not further themselves in their addiction without someone enabling them. Every addict has an enabler. And we are doing no kindness when we enable. But the enabler always thought they were doing a kindness. Giving money to a poor, struggling person, bailing them out of jail, giving money, looking the other way, not reporting when a crime is committed. That is not kindness. And the people that argue with me on this are good people, and they have such caring hearts, and they have such kind hearts, and they really want to help, and they get very upset when I say, no, don't. And I always struggle. Whenever I'm walking down the street or when someone comes in the church and they need something, I always struggle. But my experience has taught me that we must use kindness with our heads as well as our hearts. We must use our brains as well as our hearts when exhibiting kindness. Okay? The beggar asked for money. John and Peter gave him healing. And when we're sitting here in the downtown church, we have people wander in and they always need gas money. That's the thing that's always told. We need gas money. They don't need gas money. They're looking for quick money for drugs, and we know it. Just this past week, we were sitting up in John's office planning things, and a young lady wandered in and said, I'm at the homeless shelter, and I need $12 to get my ID so I can go get a job. And everything within me is, oh, $12, we can do that. And stop. And I said, can you wait until tomorrow? I said, let me call my friend who works there and make sure that it's legitimate, and then I will be there tomorrow to help you. So I called. There was no young lady at the shelter matching that description or needing that. I was being lied to. And had I given her what she wanted, which was money for drugs, I would have been an enabler. I wanted to help with my heart, but I have to use my brain as well as my heart. Okay? And this is my personal opinion. I'm going to separate this from the Word of God. This is my personal opinion. Please do not say, well, the Bible said this when I... No, this is what I have learned in my life. I'm going to share this with you. Do with it what you want. Because I have limited resources like you, I have to prioritize who I help, who I am kind to. When it comes to financial things, I have to prioritize, okay? And I'm very slow to help adults. I didn't say I don't help adults. I said I'm very slow to help adults, all right? Adults, by and large, aren't my priority when it comes to giving. Children, on the other hand, are. Children cannot support themselves. Children cannot con you. It's not like they're living, unless they're a trust fund baby out working the streets, going back to a $1 million mansion that dad paid for. Children can't con you, okay? They are people that are in need, incapable of supporting themselves. Therefore, I prioritize when it comes to financial help, children and orphans. All right, my wife and I sponsor 4 children in our orphanage in India and another through Compassion because they can't support themselves. They can't. They can't get jobs. And because I have limited resources like you, I prioritize orphan care over everything. And so these aren't people, like I said, that can provide for themselves. We must use our heads as well as our hearts when we are exhibiting kindness, just like John and Peter did. All right? The fourth thing that we see is that they provided what he needed. Not what he wanted, what he needed. What did the man need? He needed healing. He needed Jesus. That is what they provided, okay? And Acts 3, verse 11 through 19, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power we had something to do with, we made this one man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. But you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life." This is interesting. This is what they're saying to the crowd. "Killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know is made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." And then they say this, "Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Amazing. They heal this guy. They show kindness and everybody flocks to them and they start preaching the gospel. This is the fifth thing we learn about kindness, is that the kindness gave them a platform to proclaim the gospel. Their kindness gave them a platform. So many Christians have never led anyone to Christ. And they wonder, how can I do it? I don't know the word of God very well. I don't know what to say. I'm intimidated, this kind of thing. Well, if you're looking for a platform, kindness is the open door. It's because of a kindness that they gave to this beggar that people wanted to hear the gospel. All right? Don't miss this part of the story, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And don't miss this part of the story, because the story doesn't end there, okay? Many people wish it did. Many people wish that it ended with them just healing the person. That's where a lot of people wish this story ended. But it doesn't. You know, people say, well, man, kind of do something nice and be done. Isn't that a wonderful story? Well, no, unfortunately, that's what a lot of times churches become. We serve, but we never talk about Jesus. We build habitat houses. We clean up parks. We do car washes. We build playgrounds and landscape and build houses. And we do mission trips to provide food and clothing and all that. But we never talk about Jesus. We provide Thanksgiving meals to families of inmates, buy Christmas presents for their children, but do we talk about Jesus? We repair cars for single mothers and help people with utility bills, but do we talk about Jesus? Somewhere along the way, y'all, and I don't know how it happened, somewhere along the way, the church lost its number one job, which is to bring people to Christ. That's the purpose of the church. You realize that, right? That's why the church is here, is to bring people to Christ. And we started thinking that, you know, raking leaves and running basketball leagues was what we're here for. There's nothing wrong with serving and raking leaves and doing good. It's just that's not what the church is here to do, people. You know, I think it extends from a quote attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. And the quote goes something like this: "Preach the gospel and use words if necessary." You guys have probably heard that. It's on t-shirts and everything. The only problem is he didn't say that. He never said that. And I love Tony Campolo's take. Tony Campolo is a pastor, and I love his take on it. He's got kind of a sharp tongue. And I love it. He said this. He commented on it saying, "Preach the gospel, use words if necessary." And he says, in other words, what people are saying is, I don't have to use words. I just live my life well. That's all. And he says, what garbage. He said, do you realize what is implied in that statement? I am so good. I am so holy. I am so righteous that I don't have to speak the name of Jesus. I just walk through town and people fall over converted. And he continues, he said, in reality, I'm not so good. I'm not so holy. I have to use words to tell people about Jesus. Because if you don't use words, listen, people, if you don't use words, people will just assume you're a nice person, and it'll end at that. They won't even think about Jesus. In the end, you won't have accomplished anything. The true picture of biblical kindness always points back to Jesus Christ. We always give the glory back to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, get this, tells us to live as ambassadors. I like that. I like that. That's good stuff. He tells us to live as ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who is a representative of one nation and goes to another nation to represent the leader, the ruler of this nation. He is the ambassador is the spokesperson for the ruler of this other country in this foreign country. That's what an ambassador does. They smooth things out between the two kingdoms. That's what an ambassador does. And Paul says, you, if you're a Christian, you are an ambassador. You represent, you are the mouthpiece, the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to a foreign world that doesn't know him. That's what you are. Okay, kindness is an amazing way to act as an ambassador. But if an ambassador from America goes over to, say, Japan, and no one knows he's from America, and he never talks about America, he never talks about the leaders here, all he does is kind of clean people's houses and runs a basketball league, no one will ever think about the home country. No one will ever think about the home ruler. Instead, the ambassador says, my leader says this. My leader has instructed me to do this. My leader has instructed me to do this and wants me to tell you this. That's what an ambassador does. And our acts of kindness always point back to our leader, who is Jesus Christ. Kindness is an amazing way to act as an ambassador. We notice. We don't enable. We give people what they need. We act with kindness, as ambassadors pointing back to our leader, Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many Christians are not acting as ambassadors of the King. They're using words that Jesus would not say. They're doing things that Jesus would not do. And they're treating people differently than Jesus would. That's not kindness, and that's not being an ambassador. Just be kind. He goes on, Acts 4, 1 through 3. Get this, a priest and the captain of the temple of the guard, Sadducees, came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail till the next day. Well, sometimes, people, your kindness is going to get you in trouble. Okay, I found that out. Like those two guys that flipped me off. All I was doing, guys, I was minding my own business. I wasn't saying anything. I was on a street corner holding a sign that looked like this. That's all I did. And I got the Hawaiian good luck sign twice. The California hello. I was number one in their book. What did I do? Trying to be kind. Well, I found this. Don't be surprised when people are suspicious of you doing kindness. Don't be surprised. If people don't trust what you're doing, they criticize you, that's okay. Can you hardly blame them? Can you hardly blame them living in the world we live in, why they would be suspicious of you? Because this is the way the world works, is people do kindness because they want something in return. They want money, or they want accolades, or they want something from you. That's the way the world does kindness. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus wants us to do. But don't be surprised. Someone told me, you all, and get this, because this is tremendous relevance for us today. Someone told me that for a hurt person to experience love or kindness, is like being out in the freezing cold and then jumping into a hot bath. It hurts, doesn't it? I've played a lot of sports where my hands were numb, you know, they're frozen, and I turned on the hot water and stuck my hands down. It hurts. It's a searing pain. And guys, that's what it's like for a person that's never known love or kindness to experience love and kindness for the first time. Okay? Especially for those of you that work with the least of these, people who are foster parents, people who work with incarcerated inmates, people who are friends of those who are neglected and abused. Don't be surprised if you're not trusted. It's okay. It's not you. Believe me, it's not you. You may be even assaulted or insulted. I know some stories of foster parents that have been attacked by their foster children because the foster children can't fathom that these people actually love them and actually care for them. Their kindness has hurt them. And I think that's why those two guys flipped me off on the street the other day. Seriously, their worlds were so dark. So dark that the light hurt their eyes. See, guys, our kindness isn't dependent on the world's reaction to us. We don't base our kindness, our acts of kindness, our grace, our love on what the people can do for us. It's based on what the Holy Spirit is doing within us. We aren't kind because people deserve it or appreciate it. We are kind because we are Christ's ambassadors to a kingdom that does not know him and pointing people to the alternative vision for how life can be. I'm going to invite the band to come on back up. And this is what I want to say to you. If you don't hear anything else I said today, hear this. At the heart of our kindness towards people is the belief that all people are created in the image of God. All people have inherent worth. All people are God's precious creation. Everywhere you look, every person you see bears the image of God, our precious, amazing God. And what we do for people or to people is what we do for or to God. Remember that. Whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. Whatever we do to people or whatever we do for people is what we have done to or for God. If we are rude to the waiter, we're being rude to God. If we are mean and we insult and we gossip about a person, we're being mean and insulting and gossiping towards God. That's what the Bible says. A preacher was preaching on this, and he preached, and he dismissed the crowd, and the whole church stood up and ran out the door. About 15 minutes later, police chief got a call from a local nursing home, and the nursing home director said, "Please, chief, you got to get down here." She said, "Well, what's going on?" He goes, "Well, there's a whole mob of people breaking and, you know, banging on the door, saying, 'We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus.'" And I went out there. I told him, "There's not that Jesus isn't here. There's a bunch of old people that are just kind of waiting to die and everything. There's Jesus isn't here." But they insisted. They pushed past me. They ran in. "You got to get down here." And before he could hang up the phone, the adoption agency calls. Chief, you got to get down here. What's going on?" So this is a crowd of people banging on the door saying, "We want to adopt Jesus. We want to adopt Jesus." And I told them, "Jesus isn't here. Nothing but a bunch of kids that nobody wants. They're throwaways. Nobody wants them. Nobody cares." But they pushed past me, and they're all saying, "I want to adopt Jesus." And before he could even hang up the phone there, he got a call from the local jail, from the local warden. And he said, "Chief, you got to get down here." And the police chief said, "What's going on?" He says, "There's a whole bunch of people banging on the doors of the jail saying, 'We want to see Jesus. We want to visit Jesus.'" And I went out there and I tried to tell them, "Jesus isn't here. Nothing but a bunch of murders and rapists and thieves down here. You don't want to see Jesus." And they won't listen. They keep on saying, "We want to visit Jesus. You got to get down here." Is that us? Because what we do for or to the least of these, the people around us, is what we do to or for God. just be faithful.